usually I was going through, it's been a while since the revival and everything. Oh, kids, if your kids want to go next door to the class, they're going to be meeting. And we're going through Matthew, but I wanted to look at some verses in 1 Peter, even though we read some of those this morning, this evening when we were reading our verses. But there's some things I just want to highlight here I think would be good. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. You know, when God first recorded these words through these apostles and preachers and people, and he always had their interests at the time in hand and what he wanted to tell them at the time. But the good thing about God's word is it goes on, and it applies to every person, every generation. And there's some good information here that we just want to remind ourselves about, and remind ourselves what God is teaching us, as he was Peter and the churches here that he mentioned at the very beginning, Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, all those areas, all the churches that he was trying to reach. He was telling them these words, and we need to hear them again today as well. So we're going to start, first few verses we already read earlier. We're going to start in verse number 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, we're just going to look at some verses and point out some things. I don't have a three-point outline. We're just going to look at some verses. But I want to highlight some things just to remind you, to try to encourage you today, what God's word is saying. Peter was speaking to these the strangers, he says, scattered throughout all these areas. And it's a big area, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. That's a big old area. And he was trying to tell them, it says, reminding them of some things. And the first thing he reminds them about is that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, which means that it will never go away. It tells it here, it's undefiled. It's not going to fade away. And what the word I want to highlight here is, it says, reserved in the last time. That means that God already has your inheritance ready. It's already reserved for you. He doesn't have to go out and purchase it or make it after you arrive in heaven. It's already there. The only thing missing is you. And what we talked about earlier is that one thing that's great about an inheritance of God is that when we have an inheritance now on this earth, that means somebody else died and left us their inheritance. But when we die, we get the inheritance. I love that. I love the fact that God has reserved it already in heaven. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. I'm going to be in your lap if you don't say amen. Amen. All right, find me on that camera. Come on, you did it for Brent. You can find me too. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need more cowbell. I'm glad we did it first. I don't know. He didn't say nothing online, but I guarantee he's telling all them other churches over there about the cowbell. And only in Marion. Amen. I like it. I get some excitement out of somebody. Amen. So we got an inheritance that's reserved. I love that word there. Reserved in heaven for you. In verse 5, who are kept, talking about us and our salvation, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, our salvation is not kept by me and my goodness and my works. It's kept by the power of God. And if God can't keep me saved, nobody can keep me saved. So I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, because it's not by my power, it's by God's power. Verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, and we talked about that this morning, about the seasons and the changing seasons, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, we need to look at that real quick. He's talking about how we have an inheritance, that it's reserved for us. We're kept by the power of God. And then he's talking about these temptations or testings that we might go through. He says, we need to greatly rejoice, though now for a season ye are in heaviness, some of you in heaviness, some of you going through some difficulties in your faith. And verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying there is we have an inheritance reserved already for us. You're saved by the power of God, and nothing can change that. Nothing can take away that power. Nothing's above that power. We have it all through God. And that you may go through some temptations. In this particular case, it's talking about testings or trials, difficulties in our life. We may go through some things, but he says that what you're going through right now is better than gold itself. It's more precious than the gold in its purest form because it's trying your faith, not just a material thing in this world. And it's trying your faith. And it says here that it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So it's not for our praise, not for our glory, not for our honor. But when Jesus Christ comes back, he is going to receive our faith that we had that's been tried through the fire, that's precious to him like pure gold, and it's worth more value than anything on this earth. It's because God has done the work, and God will get the glory from it. It's worthy, cowbell. It's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. Now, I don't know about you, but in this world, you're lying if you say you love somebody you never met them. You've never seen them. You never met them. And say, well, I'm looking for a spouse, and I'm just going to pick some name out of the air, and I'm going to say I love them. I never met them. I don't even know them. I don't even know if they exist, but I love them. No, they don't work that way. That's not the way love works. And yet, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope some of y'all will be honest and you say this, has anybody actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, did you, when he came, and when you understood for the first time that you need to be saved, did he physically appear before you and stand before you and say, you need to be saved? And you said, yes, Lord, like Paul did on the Damascus Road, and, Lord, what would you have me do? Did you see him physically? No. Have you ever physically shook his hand or met him? No. Spiritually we have, but not physically. And yet we never seen him, but I can tell you on the truth that I love him. I love the Lord. I love Jesus Christ. But we haven't even seen him, but I know whom we have not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What is it that makes Christians so happy? Not you. None of y'all happy today. I don't hear no cowbell. But if you were happy, what is it that would make you so happy? You haven't seen God. You haven't met God. You haven't seen your inheritance. You don't know what he has for you up there. It may not be exactly what you want. What makes you so happy? We haven't even met Jesus. But we haven't seen him. But yet whom now we have not seen, ye believing, ye rejoice. We believe God's word. We believe what God's word says. We believe the promises God showed us. We believe what it tells us in Revelation of what heaven looks like. And we believe what is coming for his church and for the people of God. We believe that we're going to meet Jesus one day face to face. We believe that we're going to see God himself sitting on a throne in heaven. We believe that we're going to be with all the saints of all the ages throughout the universe around the throne and worshiping God. And as angels go around, we're going to, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We believe that we're going to hear that. We believe that we're going to see that. And by our believing through our faith that has been tried in the fire like pure gold, we can rejoice with unspeakable joy. We can't explain it. It's just joyful. No one, the world's never going to understand that. The world doesn't understand why we rejoice and why we go to church and why we have that joy that's just, we just don't understand. It's a joy we can't explain. It's unspeakable. is full of the glory of God. Only believers can do that. Only believers can understand that because we have faith in God's word and believe what he says. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What that means is when we leave this earth and we end up in heaven, we're not going to have to live by faith anymore. We're going to be in the presence of God. We're going to understand everything that he's always talked about here, even more than that. We're finally going to have a body that can actually see God without dying. It's going to be an incorruptible body. We're going to actually be able to hear God in his real voice in the way he wants to speak to us, not through the Spirit of God, but his words we'll hear right there from the throne. We'll actually be able to witness everything that the Bible tells us that's going to happen in heaven. And it's all just because we believe by faith, and that when we leave this world, we're not going to have to live by faith anymore. That's going to be the end of our faith. There's not going to be any more trying of our faith. There's not going to be any more trying times, difficult times, temptations and trials, because we're going to be in the presence of God. There's no reason for God to go through that with us and try to change us, because we're already going to be changed in the image of Christ. But now it's different, because now we need to have our faith changed. We need to have our faith increased. We need to have our faith going through the fire that we may believe more and have more joy. Look at verse 10. He's talking about us, the end of our faith. And in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They knew that Christ was going to come. They knew that the lamb was going to be slain. They knew that a gift was going to be given to mankind. They heard that the Spirit was going to dwell with men for the first time, but they didn't get a chance to see it. They only heard about it. And he's talking about them, verse 11 and verse 12, he says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. The things that we have been taught through the Spirit of God, the things that we have been shown through God's grace, the angels were looking forward to it. The angels didn't even see that before. We have experienced ourselves of the mankind being filled with the Spirit of God, receiving salvation for eternal life, and being able to basically to have all the things that the prophets heard about to actually be revealed in our generation. Of the time that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead until even now. These things were revealed unto us, but not unto them, not even unto the angels. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, every time you see that in the scriptures, it's basically talking about securing. In those days, they weren't pants like ours, but they were like a covering. And there's fine when you're walking around, but it's not great when you're trying to jog or run or something, because you have that around you and it gets in your way. So they would have to take that and they would pull it up like that when they tie it down with a belt and fasten it. So they were girding up their loins in this area. They're fastening it together so that they can move a little better, so they can walk a little better, so they can run a little better. They had to gird it up. Don't let something trip you up. Don't let something get in your way. Gird it up. Pull it up. Get ready. Fasten it, because we're going forward, man. We're walking and running for Jesus Christ. And he says, gird up the loins of your mind. So it's talking about, don't let your mind stray from the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't let your mind wander and get caught up in all kinds of things in this world. Gird it up, tighten it up, fasten it, secure it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sober, he says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the day that he comes back for us. And verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Anytime you see the conversation in the world, in the word written like that, it just means manner of life, your behavior, your conduct. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living. All manner of living. All manner of your life. All manner of conduct, manner of your life. Be holy. How can we be holy? God that called us is holy. How can we be holy like God? And that's why he says, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. See, we cannot ever be as holy as God, but we can definitely be holier than we were before Jesus saved us. And every day, because of sanctification, God says you can be sanctified every day, which means that you are being changed more into the image of God every day. Every time that you want to draw closer to God, every time you get deeper in the Word of God, every time you pray more often in your life for God, every time you draw near and want to be more like Christ in your life, you are being sanctified every day. And that sanctification allows you to be more holy than you were last week or last month. Because God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to be holy in all our manner of living. Everything that we do in our life, the way people see our we live our life, the way we talk, the way we dress, the way God, the world sees us, they need to see Jesus, and they're not going to see Jesus in sometimes the way Christians walk and talk and confess. They need to see Jesus. The only way they're going to see that is if we're holy as he is holy. We can't ever be the holy one like he is, but we can definitely change our direction and our life and our manner of living so that we can be more holy tomorrow than we were yesterday. And he says in verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations or living, received by tradition from your fathers, because that's what they believed. But he says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as the lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. You go back and look at that. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of person, that means God doesn't look at who you are, where you're from, favoritism he may have one before another. No, he judges every man the same. And it's according to how we live for God. And the only reason we're able to come before the Father is because we've been bought in that precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish. And they knew what that meant. The Jews knew what that meant because they had to bring an offering every year. And it had to be an offering that had no blemish and no spot. It had to be an offering that was an atonement for their sin for that year. And the priest would slay that lamb before them and let the blood fall down upon the altar. And they had to confess their sins as the priest was slaying that lamb so that they may have an atonement for their sin for one more year. And next year they had to do the same thing. So when they read this, they understand that they are bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot, a blemish or without spot. They know what that means, and we should know what that means as well. In verse 20, for verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That means God had this plan long before we ever existed. He knew what needed to be done, but was manifest or made known in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's the second time he mentioned about our faith being in God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know that word fervently is mentioned another time in scriptures. That means earnestly or intently. That's when we're praying. Not just for ourselves, but praying for another. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And God says if you're going to live holy and your life is going to be holy, you need to have love for the brethren, love for one another, love for other believers with a pure heart fervently. Not just half-heartedly. You know, Tony, I can put up with you every now and then, but, you know, you're not the best kind of guy to be around. And amen. Yeah. But if we're going to love each other fervently in the love of God, it has to be continuously. It has to be something you really want to do. When you come before God and you pray and you just half-heartedly pray and you repeat some prayer that somebody wrote down on a piece of paper for you, or you just say repetition over and over again, blah, 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 and blah, 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 and you just keep going on and on, and you don't really mean what you say, there's no fervency in that. But when you get down on your knees and you pray, oh, God, we need a miracle. Cowboy's out of control, Lord. You got to control that man. Put the fire of God in that man. Let him be saved for the first time. He's just faking it this whole time. Save his wretched soul. Give his life to you, Lord. That's fervent. You really need God to move on something. And that's how God says, that's the way I want you to be when you're loving the brethren, loving one another fervently. You desire it. You want to see something accomplished. You want to see something great happen. You love each other fervently. Verse 23, being born again. He mentions this the second time. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word. This, what we just heard, is the word of God that has been preached to you. God wants us to know that we have an inheritance reserved. It's already in heaven with your name on it. And I don't know this for sure. I don't know if they can see it or not, but I'm wondering if, you know, Miss Candy or Lynn or other people can go by there. Oh, there's Ed's right there. There's his. Wow, that's nice. That's a nice inheritance. I wonder if there's names up there and you can just go by. I can't wait till so-and-so shows up. They're going to be excited about this. And they can see it. It's already reserved in your name. But what God wants is that you're going to go through some difficulties, but those difficulties should bring unspeakable joy because your faith is being tried, and your faith in God's eyes is like the purest gold. It's worth everything to Him. It's worth nothing to this world. But every time your faith is tried, it's exciting to God, and it's precious in the eyes of God. It says, all I want you to do is live holy because I'm holy. You want to be like me? Be holy. Live your life like a holy person should. Fervently love the brethren. Remember that you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and give God all the honor and glory. And the word of God that endures forever, believe it. Follow it. Because our life is like a vapor. He says, you're like a grass. It's just going to wither away. But the word of God will never go away. And we can trust in God and God's word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments and stand with me if you would, please. Let's ask God to help us this evening, whatever it may be that He's speaking to you about. Maybe there's some that are online or listening that just are not 100% sure that if you were to die right now, while you're listening to this broadcast, that you would be in the arms of Christ. There's only one way to know for sure. You have to be bought by the blood of that precious lamb that has no spot, no blemish. It's perfect. He bought you already on Calvary. All you have to do is give your life to him through your faith in Jesus Christ. Just believe on him today. Trust in him today. Call upon him today and ask him to save you, that you may be born again into the family of God. Maybe you're listening, you're here, and you know you're a child of God. Maybe there's some things in our life that were revealed to us as we heard God's word that we need to have changed. We're not being holy like we should. We don't look at the temptations and trials in our life as a chance to be purified in our faith, but we see it as a burden and a difficulty. Maybe we got to change our attitude and change the way we see things. Or maybe it's just to remind ourselves that God loves us so much that he has already reserved a place, already reserved inheritance for us, and he's waiting for us to come home. And it won't be long, but God just wants us to be faithful while we're here and let that faith grow. Whatever God's speaking to you about, let the Lord have his way as we pray together. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing our time today, Lord. Thank you for all your promises and all the things you do for us, Lord. May we honor you right now and give you the glory and praise. May you have your way in our heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars are open if you'd like to come pray.